It's a very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to the show on this very wet day in Dublin. Well, depending on what part of Dublin you happen to be in, the rain seems to be quite relentless at the moment, doesn't it? Anyway, lots to get through. By the way, can I just mention as well, we had hoped to get Senator Michael McDougall on to the end of the show, but we should have him tomorrow to talk to us. He is voting today, as you well know, in relation to the EU Migration Pact, because he gave a very passionate speech last night in the Oireachtas, suggesting, of course, as this is pushed through without a good debate or decent debate in the Oireachtas, this could be certainly life-changing for Ireland and for our living constitution. We will talk more about the EU Migration Pact again tomorrow, because I know a lot of people have huge concerns about where that is going and how the people should be involved, and there should be a referendum relating to that. But issues relating to abortion care in Ireland have been dominating the news, and Simon Harris's first appearance at the Taoiseach at the Leader's Questions the other day with demands that the 3-day wait period for abortion be scrapped. And the Taoiseach said the government has not yet considered the recommendation, but that the Cabinet Health Committee will soon meet to discuss it and other recommendations in the O'Shea Review. Social Democrats leader Holly Cairns, People for Profit Breed Smith and the Labour leader Vanna Batjic all used their speaking time in the Dáil to raise the issues relating to abortion services in Ireland, while the independent TD Joan Collins began her speaking time by saying she agreed with the points made by the other three speakers. She had a lot to add to it, obviously. The three TDs demanded the recommendation of Maria O'Shea's review on abortion services. Now, the author of the landmark review of Ireland's abortion law has called on the government to prioritise ongoing issues with the legislation, saying vulnerable women who continue to be forced abroad for terminations of pregnancy are being treated like criminals. This is in regards to women who would be over the 12-week waiting period. Of course, as you know, there's a cap of 12 weeks where you can't have an abortion in Ireland. Well, women are still leaving the country over that period of time to go to the United Kingdom, and she believes they're being treated like criminals. Well, they would be criminals under Irish law. In an exclusive interview with RTÉ Investigates, Barrister Maria O'Shea criticised the lack of action on many of the legislative recommendations contained in her report, saying some pregnant women as a result are being left to face profoundly sad conditions. The review was delivered to the government last April, as far as I know. And in any situation where, she goes on to say, in any situation where someone's going to make a big decision or have medical procedures done, everybody wants them to have sufficient time to take in the information relating to that procedure and be certain that they're ready to proceed. That's called informed consent. And that was according to Katrina Henshin, I think is her name, medical director with the Irish Family and Planning Association. Now, the RTÉ Investigates programme, which you might have watched the other night, called The Realities of Ireland's Current Abortion Services and Gaps in the System of Care, which continue to cause heartache, they say, for affected women. They say for the last 7 months, RTÉ Investigates had been examining Ireland's abortion services. This is not an investigation, says somebody, about the rights or wrongs of abortion, but rather on focusing on the government's commission review and how the Irish system is working, including going undercover to expose the counselling services, misleading women about what they actually offer. So there are two things really at hand here. Of course, RTÉ and their coverage of abortion, which for many people believes are very one-sided, but they would argue, look, abortion is legal in Ireland, so it's not really one-sided. If this was before a referendum, it would be considered to be impartial, or not to be impartial, but because it's after a referendum and the law exists, then it's not impartial. They just say they want to find out exactly what services are being offered to Irish women and are the right services being offered. But the main question has to be around, I suppose, the idea of the review. Irish people, of course, voted in a referendum. 67% of the population, the voting population, voted in favour of abortion services in Ireland. But they based their vote on what the government promised them. That was a 12-week cap with a 3-day waiting period and criminalising anybody over the 12-week unless it was in very special circumstances. Now they're calling to change that legislation already. And it was only 2018, so we're only 5 years in, and they're looking for a review. Now, a review was promised by Simon Harris during the recommendations, during the referendum. But do you think it should be changed? Do you think the 3-day waiting period, whereby if a woman goes to a doctor and says, I want an abortion, the doctor says, that's fine, come back to me in 3 days, have a think about it. Do you think that's fair? Because some women say, hold on, stop treating us like children. I want an abortion, I want it now, I don't want it in 3 days. And they will also argue, of course, that not only that, because sometimes that 3 days might fall over a weekend or a bank holiday weekend, that could be 5 days. So that's what they're saying, and they want it removed. They also want the decriminalisation of the 12-week cap removed as well, whereby women can have an abortion after that 12-week period, probably similar to the United Kingdom, with 22 weeks, although there are those that are arguing that there should be no cap at all, which would mean literally an hour before you're born. Well, speaking to me a little bit more about this, I want to get your calls today, by the way, at 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. The question really is, should we be changing our abortion laws and liberalising them to some extent? Let me know what you think. 085-122-55. I want to speak to Eilis Mulroy, who's from who's a pro-life campaigner, and she joins me on the line. Eilis, good afternoon to you and welcome to the show. You contacted me initially about the what you believe was RT bias in the investigations programme. So maybe you could kind of run through that very quickly with us if you can.
Thanks very much for having me on the programme, Niall. Good afternoon to you too. Yes. I mean, it's our view that the RTE programme that aired on Monday night, which was supposed to be an investigation into how abortion is working in Ireland, really was a very partisan broadcast. And I really feel it, you know, it made a mockery of what public service broadcasting should be. In your introduction, you said, you know, well, maybe they could say, well, abortion is now legal and we want to see how it's operating. No matter what the situation is, when a publicly funded broadcaster is doing investigative work on any topic, they should be looking at all aspects of it. And it appears that the team that researched this program, which incidentally they said at the beginning took 7 months of research, simply failed and ignored huge elements of what's happening in terms of the abortion law in Ireland. They interviewed women with very difficult situations, of course, but failed and ignored the voices of many women who have different perspectives on abortion, the women who regret their abortion, who wish they were supported in making other choices, the women who availed of the 3-day wait, who had their babies and were glad of it, and many others. And I think the real investigation that needs to happen really is now is into how RTE gets away with producing this kind of programme that really presented a very one-sided take on what's happening. We've been talking in the context of the 3-year review of the abortion law, which you mentioned, about many elements of the law that people aren't aware of. We've been talking about the huge abortion numbers, and there seems to be no interest in government in reducing those numbers or in presenting women with alternatives to abortion. We've talked about some of the really terrible information that's come to light. Even just 2 weeks ago, we heard of a case of a woman. Well, the general public probably hasn't heard about it. It was only reported in the Daily Mail and not picked up by any other elements of the media. A story of a woman who nearly died in Limerick Hospital following.
We covered that story, actually, yes, with Nivi Broome.
You covered it. Yeah. You did. And fair dues to you for doing that. But there are many, many elements that aren't being covered in Irish media. There's another example is where there was a report in the Irish Examiner in late 2021 of a woman who, a minor, who was forced into a room and made to take abortion pills. That was actually reported in the Irish Examiner. It doesn't appear that the RTE Investigations Unit who did this programme that was published or that was broadcast last Monday night had any interest in interrogating that element.
Their argument and what they're saying, what they're kind of saying, I suppose, is, you know, we don't have to have the same impartiality we would have had to have before a referendum because, you know, we didn't have legislation then. We have legislation now, and they're basing their argument on saying, well, we want to see how well the legislation is working. And what they're saying was, for example, that women had to go to the United Kingdom and they're being treated like criminals because they're going after the 12-week period because it's not available after 12 weeks for them here in Ireland. They're also talking about the fact that they believe the 3-day waiting period should be removed because that over a bank holiday weekend, for example, could turn to 5 days, which could put a woman over that 12-week cap. And all of these other things. But I want to get to that because that's the main crux of what I want to talk about today. And by the way, I do agree with you in relation to RTE. I think they're very biased in a lot of things. And we've kind of seen that they're kind of very centre to left leaning most of the time. But the Social Democrats leader, Holly Cairns, and People Before Profit, Breed Smith, and Ivana Bacik as well from the Labour, are talking about the Marie O'Shea review. And part of the review, or the main part of the review, the crux of it seems to be to remove the 3-day waiting period and to decriminalise women who want to have an abortion after that 12-week period. Clearly, obviously, you don't agree with that. So in relation to the 3-day waiting period, there is evidence to show from what I spoke to you before, I think Nivi Broome before as well, in relation to the 3-day wait period and how many people had gone to a doctor for a first consultation and then how many people actually came back after the 3 days. And it kind of seems to show that either A, they miscarried, which would be very sad indeed, or B, they weren't pregnant at all, or C, they changed their mind. How many of those women do you think actually changed their mind because of the 3-day wait period?
You know, it's very difficult to come up with that figure, and partly because the information on the abortion numbers. It's issued by the Department of Health every year. We also get information through parliamentary questions on the abortion numbers. And what happens is you have the number of abortions that are notified to the department, and then another figure is the number of abortions that GPs get paid for providing. So you're trying to look at all of those figures and work out how many women actually availed of the first appointment and didn't avail of the second appointment. And as you say, there could be other reasons, but it's certainly a large number. And I know personally people who've availed of it. So it's certainly a large number. And the reality is that I remember before the abortion referendum, when the journal .ie was doing their fact checks, and they fact checked quite regularly claims from the
campaign. I think people should be fact checking the fact checkers in the journal, but however, go on, yeah.
Well, that's another day's discussion. But I remember at the time they were fact checking claims from the No campaign and suggesting that pro-life claims about a post-repeal abortion regime were exaggerated. Mm-hmm. You know, and they referred in particular to the 3-day wait, and they said, on the journal, they said, like, the 72-hour waiting period will be there. A person will have to wait 72 hours. So they were presenting that to the public, the members of the media, as well as members of the government, as a reassurance to the public that this will be there, and that it was a commitment.
Are we hoodwinking? I mean, Simon Harris says now he is going to look at this review, and I listened to Stephen Donnelly last night on prime time as well. He was asked the same question, and he said it will come before the cabinet for review. And it's only 5 years in. We were kind of sold the referendum on a particular piece of legislation. The mistake we probably made was that should have been put into the Constitution, but it wasn't. We repealed instead of changing. Some people say, well, then we were sold a lie.
Well, I mean, certainly when you give over power to the Oireachtas, things can change. Mm. But so that is the risk that will happen. And there's nothing really we could have done about that at the time. So that was the way they presented it. But they did present it alongside commitments from members of the government, including people like Minister Simon Coveney at the time, if you recall, was reassured about the 3-day wait in particular when he was, you know, giving people his blessing to vote yes for the referendum, when he was encouraging a yes vote. So people were reassured by those commitments, and it is very anti-democratic to be at this stage looking to go back on them. But going back to the 3-day wait, it's surprising that even people who are pro-abortion or abortion advocates or pro-choice or whatever label they will call themselves, it's surprising that some of those people haven't looked in a bit more detail at the review and the recommendations of Marie O'Shea, because Marie O'Shea, the chairperson of the review, was challenged at the Health Committee. She had to appear before the Health Committee twice in May and September of last year. She was challenged in relation to the research that underpinned her recommendation, because that research was called the UNPAC report. The lead researcher was Dr. Catherine Conlon, who herself has a demonstrated history of pro-appeal activism. That published research did not include any interviews or testimony from any woman who availed of the 3-day wait. So okay, they only spoke to people who had a problem with the 3-day wait. And when Marie O'Shea was asked by another TD at the Health Committee whether there were waiting periods for other countries in relation to abortion, she said that she was unaware of any. In fact, that's completely inaccurate. There are waiting periods in a number of countries, in Belgium, in Hungary, in Italy. So she really was operating in a vacuum of information. And whether you agree with the removal of the 3-day wait or not, politicians have a responsibility to look at these kind of recommendations in this review and look at the data that underpinned it. And if anybody gave it any attention at all, they would see that it is built on sand. And it's disgraceful that an RTÉ investigations unit continued to perpetuate that, the removal of the 3-day wait, as something that everybody wants,
There is this idea, you know, I suppose there is this idea that pro-choice would say, you know, well, hold on, we're treating women like they're stupid and they can't make a decision. But Eilis, please stay with me. I'm speaking to Solicitor and Chief Executive Officer of the Pro-Life Campaign, Eilis Mulroy. And I just to give it a level of balance to Clarity Mills, who Clarity is pro-choice, has been on the show many times before. Clarity, you know, 3 days is not an awful lot of time to have to wait to make a life-changing decision that you may or may not regret. So is it really such a big deal?
I'd say so. And I think the reason why, so I'm a person who has had an abortion in Ireland since the 2018 repeal. For myself, I have an autoimmune disease, so the likelihood that I would be able to carry a child to term is very unlikely. It wouldn't cause massive health complications for myself. and that child if they were even to make it to term. So I've always known for myself that having children was not in my space or anything I wanted to have. However, after having long COVID, after being on birth control for 27 years, I had to go off of it. My long-term partner and I used protection. The condom broke. We took the morning after pill. And still 3 weeks later, tested positive on a pregnancy test. And in my case, there's no circumstance where my mind was going to change. It's a healthcare decision. So to the point that you made previously, like, are we treating women like children, or do they know their own minds and have right to healthcare access? Like, if I was a diabetic and they said you need to wait 3 days to get insulin, that's an incredible.
But I could
incredible
argue
position for the government to have.
Clarice, if I wanted to go and get the snip tomorrow, you know, maybe not at 60, mm-hmm. but certainly if I was 35 and I wanted to go and get the snip tomorrow,
yeah.
most doctors will not perform it there and then. They will make you wait. And the reason for that wait period is a similar situation, because it's a life-changing decision. You know, I mean, when I say life-changing for a woman, for you, it was routine, okay, because that's what you wanted mm-hmm. and you had made that decision, and that's fine. But there are many women, mm-hmm. you know, who will make that decision for different reasons. And they could end up with lifelong regrets and huge mental health issues because of that decision they made. So it's just, I suppose it's just there as a cautionary, you know, to say, well, look, have a think about it. And when we look at the figures, there are thousands of women who don't return for that third, after that third day for the second appointment. Now, we can only assume that it's one of three things, either a miscarriage, they weren't pregnant, or they changed their mind. So if 1,000 women change their mind in a yearly period, that's 1,000 women whose lives won't be disrupted. They won't end up with regrets, and a child will be born.
Yeah. And I think that this goes back to the role of the state in this. As you know, I'm from America originally, and America's rolled back to like 1860s level laws in some states when they removed it as a federal right and let the individual states decide, which is a huge travesty. And the amount of healthcare impacts, mental health impacts from that are far worse than possibly somebody having buyer's remorse in this scenario, which is what you're trying to protect people from. But at the end of the day, it is not, in my very strong opinion, the role of government to administer the healthcare people. Reproductive rights is healthcare. It is a type of healthcare. And I understand 12 weeks, and there's always extenuating circumstances that are going to take people beyond that for the life of the mother, the life of the child. So we won't even opine about that subject. But when you're talking about 3 days, sub 12 weeks, it does make a big difference. The longer you go on and the longer the embryo has a chance to develop, the more painful the procedure is. And it is excruciating. It is on par with a miscarriage. It's not fun. And so for somebody who knows their mind, are we going to treat our citizenry like they're conscientious adults? Or are we going to force the government to put in this, you know, second chance kind of 3 day, 72 hour waiting period? I think oftentimes people do not make these decisions lightly. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not a whim. And people have this archetype of the type of woman who makes this decision. And it's just really not that. They tend to be more people like me. Every single woman I know of my age group, at least 30, 40.
They're not all like you, Clarity. Well, I mean, you know, there are the individuals out there, you know, and I'm aware of individuals who had 2 and 3 abortions. There are individuals out there who almost use it like a contraception. You know, and I'm not suggesting that most women do that, by any stretch of the imagination. But there are women who just make it for economic reasons, all sorts of different reasons. But so, Eilis, just to go back to Eilis quickly, what Clarity said, you know, we are treating women, you know, this kind of way that we believe that they're incapable of making decisions. I mean, we have to accept, Eilis, that, you know, at this stage, abortion is legal in Ireland, whether you like it or not. And for Clarity, on that particular occasion, she said it's women's health care. Now, this is a kind of bone of contention, Eilis, because some people don't believe it's women's health care.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it healthcare, Niall, for sure. It's the ending of life, no matter what way you look at it. But I just to go back to that point, look, even for medical procedures that are intended to heal rather than to take life, the importance of time for reflection is acknowledged. And the Medical Council Guide to Professional Conduct and Ethics for Medical Practitioners in Ireland even emphasises the importance of giving the patient enough time to decide whether or not to consent to a procedure. And it says in particular, whenever possible, you should consider discuss treatment options and the risks of the patient. You should also give the patient enough time before the treatment to consider their options. You should not usually seek consent from a patient when they are stressed, sedated, or in pain, and therefore less able to make a reasonable decision. And that goes back, actually, so that's the Medical Council guidelines. It's an accepted thing for procedures that you would give a person time to reflect. You would be sure. And that goes back to the counselling and what your other contributor said. there are many women who've had abortions and are having abortions.
But I suppose Clarity is making the point that because it's only 12 weeks and not, say, 24 weeks, as it would be in some countries, although they're looking to extend that as well, you know, that 12-week period, you know, taking 3 days or 5 days if it's a bank holiday weekend out of that, you know, makes it more stressful.
But the reality is that we have over 30,000 abortions, nearly 35,000 abortions up to the middle of June 2023. So it's actually probably a lot more than that at this stage. We're a year on. We'll have the figures at the end of June of this year. That's a huge number of abortions. It's a lot more.
But it's three times what it was before we legalized it. So,
and it's a lot more than anybody would anticipate it. And going back to commitments made before the referendum, we were told abortion rates wouldn't rise significantly or very quickly. We're talking about 1 in 7 pregnancies or 1 in 8. That's a huge number of abortions. And I think that it goes back. We need to go. And this is another thing that RTE aren't investigating.
Okay.
The My Options helpline that women ring when they're in unplanned pregnancy. They're not necessarily abortion-minded. They're in unplanned pregnancy. They ring the My Options helpline, which and we've talked about this before. The government tells us and the state tells us that that's going to give them all their options. That helpline seems, based on anecdotal research, based even on the conversation that was on the beginning of the RTE Investigates programme, seems to send people directly for abortion.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk to them about parenting and other options.
Okay, well, look, I have a lot of callers. Sorry, Eilis, for rushing there. But
I was just going to say, though, I'm just going to say every woman is different, and I know many, many women have been through
for different reasons
as well, who have a very different experience from your caller. And I think that we have to respect that those women's voices shouldn't be silenced. And that's what RTE did last Monday night.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Solicitor and Chief Executive Officer with the Pro-Life Campaign, Eilis. Thank you very much for joining us today. I also, as Clarity, I want you to stay with me for a second if you can, because I have a lot of callers that want to come on as well. John, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon. I watched the programme as well, and I definitely agree with your pro-life contributor. I believe it dealt mostly with the hard cases. No, saying that, Niall, they were very explicit, and I feel my heart went out to those women. But at the same time, it seemed to take up an awful lot of the programme, as your previous caller has said, pro-life caller. I thought it was a bit one-sided, and basically, there was a lot of stuff. Now, they did short clips here and there.
But John, my argument is, and you know my position on this, okay? You know, morally, I'm probably pro-life, but I respect democracy. Yeah. And, you know, I have to respect democracy because I live in this country and we have referendums. And whether you agree with how the referendum was run or not is kind of irrelevant at this point because the legislation is already there. RTE don't have an obligation to kind of show the pro-life side because the legislation exists. And I'm not suggesting RTE aren't biased because I do believe they are. There's no doubt about it.
100%, because, like, I mean, they also could have included, they showed a clip, which is the most disgusting clip, will go down in TV history, of the huge crowd in Dublin Castle. And Leo
Varadkar
with his sleeves rolled up, and Harris and Catherine Noon, and everyone cheering. The most disgusting sight you could ever see.
I completely, and I've said this a million times, I don't believe abortion for anybody, be you pro-choice or pro-life, is something to celebrate.
Well, the way I look at it, it's by no coincidence that the like of Harris and Varadkar became Taoiseach and Martin joined in the unholy trinity, right, to turn the guns on the unborn, right?
Okay, but just getting back to what Clarity says, for example, Clarity Mills is speaking to us, and Clarity, you know, it was in a position whereby, you know, biologically, she wasn't in a position to have a child. So she decided to have an abortion. That was her decision. You know, there was no two ways about that decision. So she's arguing, well, why should I have to wait 3 days? I'm not a child. Don't treat me like a child.
Well, you see, the best way I can answer that, like, I mean, the most logical way, I think that makes sense, is right. God forbid, like, I mean, the 3 days, like, I mean, that there might be slight discommoded, right? But God forbid, like, I mean, that the woman might actually change her mind, and what could come from that, a life would be saved. My God, what a horrendous concept that a child might actually live. Wouldn't that be horrendous, wouldn't it?
Well, Clarity, do you want to, I mean, obviously you didn't want to change your mind, Clarity, and that's blatantly obvious, but there are a lot of women who are in your situation, Clarity, who may change their mind in that 3-day period.
Absolutely. And so are we going to treat them like adults? They can take as much time as they want, go to the preliminary appointment, say, you know what, I need to come back next week and really have a think about this, talk to my partner, talk to whatever religious authority, you know, can make sense of the situation to me, talk to my other doctors. And women have the right to do that. We're not taking away the right. We're just not enforcing the government to babysit them and enforce.
But if you don't have a waiting period, they don't have to wait. In other words, if they're being pressured by a boyfriend or, you know, mm-hmm. or a parent or whatever it is to have an abortion, or a husband even to have an abortion,
right,
and they're not too sure about it. Well, when they go for that first appointment, the reality kicks in, you know, and having that 3-day period, you know, gives them the excuse that I don't have to do it right now. I have 3 days. Whereas if you didn't have that kind of obligation to do that and it wasn't compulsory, well, they could just go about it there and then. The pressure they're being put on could make them do it there and then.
Absolutely. But I mean, I think we're trying to solve the wrong problem. Instead of after the fact, like obviously, an ounce of prevention is better than the pound of treatment after the fact. And so looking at those situations, saying there's a huge increase of, you know, abortions, 30,000 up until mid-year last year. Let's talk about how we get contraceptive and sexual education to those impacted individuals so that they don't end up in that situation in the first place, right?
Contraception was never more available, no, and it's free as well. So that let's be honest, and we're still murdering children, like, I mean, in 2024. No, and I'll be honest, like, I mean, as I said, the three-day waiting period gives the woman a chance, like, because, again, which wasn't explored last night, was nobody came on that regretted having their abortion, or maybe even more than one abortion, right? Also, what came up was the whole idea that these laws will be brought in now, that people can pray outside their GPs and hospitals and stuff like that. And the only reason I will do that and have continued to do it, and the other good people out there, we are not there to harass any women going in or out. We're there to acknowledge the existence of the unborn child, to say, we are here for you. Your life is going to be taken against your will, but at least we are here to honour that you actually exist.
Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Saoirse as well. Saoirse, hi, how are you?
No, Ryan, how are you?
Saoirse, you're pro-choice. To be fair, I am obviously able to nail everybody's colours to the mast. But I'm saying to Clarity there a few minutes ago, and listening to John and Eilis, who was on there a few minutes ago, I mean, 3 days is not such a big deal. We'll deal with extending the 12 weeks in a few minutes. But 3 days to wait, is it really such a big deal?
I thoroughly enjoyed, Niall, your description of the psychological state of the woman as she comes into the doctor there and why the 3 days is necessary. Number one, you have no idea what a woman would be feeling or experiencing. And the problem with the 3-day idea, Niall, is that it's not an option. It is enforced on the woman, as Clarity says, like a child. So of course there may be scenarios when there is pressure at home and the woman is not in a good state, but that is up to the discretion of the doctor to suggest not enforced, because that is another kind of manipulation that you were so carefully trying to protect the woman from. They don't need a forced 3-day waiting period. They need help. They need counsel. They need impartial advice. Okay?
When you say impartial advice, the advice is not impartial, because a doctor is not going to turn around and tell you yay or nay whether you should or shouldn't get an abortion. So that's not really impartial to it in a sense, because he's there to provide a service, and he's not going to tell you not to accept his service.
They're there to tell you what your options are and not push you towards any in particular. That is the definition of impartial advice, as far as I'm aware.
But he is providing the service, so it's hardly impartial.
No, the doctor is there to say, hello, you want to have an abortion? Okay, these are your other options. Have you considered them? Okay, so you are fully aware. Okay, I respect you. You're a fully functioning grown adult. Okay, perfect. We'll go ahead with what you have decided. We have agreed abortion is in this country. And the person earlier who is shocked that the numbers have risen, read the room. If you want abortion...
But they've risen substantially. It's gone from 3,300 to 9,000.
I'm not finished. Yes, and what this... If you care about life, if you want to reduce abortion figures, you should be wondering why why all of these women feel that they need an abortion, and maybe look at increased maternity care, a support, child care that's affordable, and stop obsessing over the individual woman that is making a choice that she feels is correct for her. It is disgusting.
Clarity, it's disgusting. I wouldn't have gone that far, but it's disgusting. I think what we did, Clarity, was we sold people a referendum based on a set of rules, and now we're pulling the rug from under their feet, so to speak. Is that not, Clarity, what we're really doing?
No, I think what's happening, I agree obviously 100% with what Saoirse just asserted, but basically, I think about these things very differently than your other callers who are on the pro-life side of this conversation and also against, I'm for treating adult citizens like adult citizens, giving them the autonomy over their bodies. I think of abortion rights and reproductive rights as health care. So the same way you wouldn't restrict anybody from any other type of health care is the same reason why in these situations we should trust the agency of the woman. If there are other societal problems that are happening, for example, a massive rise in the rates of abortion, then there's more effective uses of the government's time, money, efforts, this dialogue, this debate that we're having right now, which
it's not that we don't trust women. This idea that we don't trust women, that's why you have to wait 3 days, it's completely incorrect. That's misinformation. It's not about trusting.
No, hang on.
It is about support, in a sense, that we're giving a cooling off period. Cooling off periods exist in a lot of things, not just medical care, but they exist in a lot of things. Even you go buy insurance for your car tomorrow, there's a cooling off period. There's a cooling off period for everything. I mean, it's to give people a chance to make a proper decision, an informed decision.
But there you go, right there. You're exposing the fact that you don't trust the woman. Right there. Ensure they're making the right choice.
Yes.
What are you talking about? They've made the choice. They're not incapable of consent because they're pregnant. Here we go with this underlying assumption that because you are pregnant, your hormones are making you do lally.
That's not what I said, Saoirse. I never suggested women were do lally. What I'm saying is, like every human being, sometimes we need a little bit of extra time after we get some expert advice from a doctor to make a decision.
Utterly patronizing is what it is. These are grown women who need to make a decision. If they choose to take an offer of a couple of days to think about it, absolutely. But not this fourth 3 days, pat on the head, come back when you've really thought about it. Nonsense.
Okay, just before I go to Bernie, Saoirse, do you believe that the legislation regarding the 12-week cap, because we've seen in the documentary that many women are still going abroad and the reason is they're over the 12-week period, do you believe, or do you still think that we need to increase it, or do you believe we need to increase it to 24 weeks, or as some politicians have suggested, there should be no cap at all?
I personally believe that with a lot of things, there should be a limit. There should be. And at the moment, it seems the 12-week limit is not sufficient for all circumstances. And I think it is a disgrace on our nation, not on the individual woman, that these people are travelling to the UK under some kind of shroud of shame, like it's 1965. It is a disgrace. We are once again, as always, letting down the women of Ireland. But finally, I want to say, if it's not healthcare, what is it? It isn't dental care. It is not repair work for your car. It is, of course, healthcare.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just talk to somebody who's been in healthcare most of her life. Bernie, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't agree with. I think a 3-day waiting list is the least. I don't agree with abortion myself personally. I voted no, and I have worked, as I said, I'm 60 in my 60s, and I had women in my time who have gone and had abortions in England at the time, and they are still living with the grief of that. They've never gotten over the grief of it, and I don't think abortion is way to go forward for women.
Mm. Okay, let her finish. So you wouldn't get rid of the 3-day wait period. You think it's important?
I think that the 3-day wait is important because, you know, if that lady ahead of me has said, you know, you're taking women's rights, it's not. It's giving a person the time to center themselves and get used to it.
But Saoirse says we're treating women like they're doolally.
No, they're not. And what they're saying is you're giving women the time to understand the seriousness and the consequential results of what they're going to go through. It's not like you're getting rid of it. Your body goes through an emergency.
Yeah, you're not having a mole removed. Yeah.
No. So in a 9 month pregnancy, your body gets used to it, 9 months. So it puts in hormones to help you grow a fetus. It gives you your body assistance that helps you, you know, taking food. That's what normal pregnancy starts at conception. And then you go through the 9 months. That your body still, if you have a miscarriage at 12 weeks, your body still continues on. You produce milk at 30 weeks. I only know this from my own experience. So my body doesn't just shut down because I've had the baby terminated at my choice. My body has got ready for a 9 month stint of having a baby. And you can't just go into a hospital and say, I want it done now, please. Thanks very much. I want to go to Tesco's on the way home. It is definitely 3 days to do something like that is a minimum, I think.
Yes, Saoirse, go ahead. Saoirse, do you understand the implications of having an abortion? That's the point that Bernie is making. As a healthcare professional, she does.
Okay, I mean, I won't answer that because it's a ridiculous question. What I want to say
Sometimes is... I don't think it's ridiculous.
So I am sure, I am certain, I am... Excuse me, can I just... I don't have much time today. I am certain that there are women who have regretted having an abortion. And what I would put to you is, if our society functioned correctly, those women would feel supported... In this country, you're talking about those women who got in a plane in the dead of night and flew to the UK. They wouldn't have had to do that. They would have proper services here, and they would have felt a lot better and a lot less shame around their decision. So I would put to you that those women you're talking about feel shame, not solely because of a decision, but because how that decision was framed in the context of the culture at the time. We need to change the entire way we look at abortion. We need to offer proper support to mothers. We need to offer proper childcare that is affordable, and we need to offer compassionate healthcare around abortion if that is your choice. And that does not include a 3-day cooling off. You don't know what you're talking about. Hormones are raging in your silly little head. 3-day period. Okay? Can anybody understand that?
Sorry, Bernie. You didn't respond.
When did you get your God complex? Where do you get the doctor telling me that I'm wrong?
So you
know better than somebody who worked as a nurse for all her life.
Are you seriously telling me my opinion is less valid than a nurse?
No, what I'm asking you to listen to is what Bernie had said to you in relation to pregnancy itself. It's not just that you're not having a mole removed.
How as a man in this scenario, who is neither a nurse nor a woman, has any right to tell me in that kind of tone?
Because I have three children.
Congratulations. That further confirms you know nothing about abortion.
I know nothing about abortion, no. Okay, and I know nothing about pregnancy, of course. Yeah, I don't. So Bernie, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I have stood with people who have gone on the boat to England. I have stood with them. I haven't given up on people. I mean, everyone at the end of the day makes their own choices in life. And I mean, these choices they did because of the fear, the way the country was at the time. And yes, it was terrible and it was sad and it was heartbreaking for those women. But I'm telling you, in their 60s now, they regret ever even making that choice. They said they had no right to do that.
You are talking about a selection of women that grew up in Catholic Ireland who probably feel shame around wearing a different colour bra. Okay, if you look at the current statistics about the regret about abortion, it is non-existent.
That's completely untrue, Saoirse.
Have a look. There's plenty of data to say that women do not regret it. In the current modern day, this was a culture that made you feel ashamed of everything you did. Of course, these women are regretting it now.
Women who had it done regret making that decision to get an abortion. They should have had the baby. This is what they're. This is the guilt they're living with.
I'm telling you, that is a result of the time they lived in.
Absolute and utter nonsense. There are still people today, Saoirse, who have abortions, and we won't know because the legislation is reasonably new. It's only 5 years old. But there are women today who are having abortions that will regret it in 10, 20, 30 years' time.
Not enough to justify not enough to justify putting a muzzle on people who want one today. And can I say, 7% of people regret having children. What do we do? Sit people down before they have sex and ask, are you sure?
No, okay, okay, we'll hang on for a second. Just let me go.
Regressing.
Okay.
Regret, can I say, no, I have to finish. Regret is a part of life. And that is a fact.
Okay, sorry. Well, Tony, sorry, you want to say something there, Tony? Go ahead.
How are you, Noel? Okay.
Yeah, you've been listening to Saoirse there. Regret is part of life, and that's just a fact, she said.
She's an insufferable one, isn't she, God bless her? Honestly, she's something else, she is. God help her. I doubt if she's ever had a child. I doubt if she's even bloody had a man in a relationship.
Well, let's not judge her. Let's not judge her based on her opinion. Okay.
I know, but unfortunately, she's just so bad.
Yeah, okay.
Noel, what we were sold was a fuck.
You were sold a lie when you voted 5 years ago, was that what you said? Or 6 years ago, maybe. Tony, are you there? Hello? Tony?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I am, yeah.
So you were saying you were sold a lie when you voted yes?
Without a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Noel. And it was the Eighth Amendment that people were voting for.
Well, that was a repeal.
And that's the biggest lie we are sold.
Yeah, well, it was a repeal, wasn't it? Yeah, it wasn't a change in the law. You were voting to remove it completely to allow the government to make legislation.
To remove the protection of the unborn.
Okay, so in relation to the 3-day waiting period, do you believe it should remain?
Yep, because I signed a contract with a phone company last year and I had a change of heart about a week later and I phoned up and I was still protected. And that was just a phone contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, definitely a 3-day. It's no harm at all. Like, it's not going to make any difference, is it?
Well, Saoirse believes it will make a difference and we're treating women like children.
Saoirse, God bless her, it's just not... She's not right, but she thinks she's right against everything. She probably doesn't believe in God either, but she thinks she's right about everything. She's just in suffering.
Well, she even questions Bernie, who worked as a healthcare professional for God knows how many years.
She would question everybody. She would question a gynecologist. If you had a gynecologist, top gynecologist in the world on, she would question it because she's always right. God, she's... An unbelievable.
Is this man going to contribute anything useful?
She's screeching again now. She's off again.
Is this man? I have a serious question. Is this man going to contribute anything? Excuse me. Stop moaning.
Sensibly, will you? Just speak sensibly.
Why don't you get a sense of urgency?
And condemning everyone.
Are you currently employed?
Yes, I am. I'm in walk now. I'm going to stand beside the machine now that I'm walking on. Yes, I am.
Okay, because
employed.
You sound like you're lying on a couch for the last 5 years.
No, I haven't, and I have children, and I have grandchildren. Have you? I know you always say, oh, I'm not speaking about me. I bet you haven't. I will bet you haven't got your own children.
Like I said, I don't.
And you've never held your own baby in your
like
arms.
Look, this is where your guest resorts are going to, Niall. This is what you platform.
Because you don't know enough about life, Saoirse. You don't know enough about life. You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. And you don't know enough about life. A girl like Bernie who worked all her life in healthcare, and you're condemning her and telling her she's wrong. Is anyone right except you?
Let her answer, Tony, if you've asked her something. Let her answer. Go ahead.
This is what it looks like to have a different opinion. I am apologize if it makes you uncomfortable, but no, I don't agree with Bernie, and I don't agree with you, and I don't agree with Niall, and I do think I'm correct.
Anybody, do you? Who do you agree with?
No, I don't. Not on this show. I have yet to come across somebody I agree with.
Well, you agreed with Clarity earlier on, Inverness.
That's correct, Niall. I did. Mm. I agreed with some of what Clarity said.
Yeah, and you agreed with, the last time you were on, you agreed with Steve as well, ironically enough, which is bizarre.
I have no value on other people's opinions, even healthcare professionals. You have no value on their opinions.
You can't stand that I don't say what you want me to say.
No, he's asked why, like, even, you know, Bernie, who was a healthcare professional, you know, and a nurse for her whole life, and has more experience than you in dealing with women in those situations, those very difficult situations.
I've heard all of that before from all of the right right-wing healthcare people who don't want abortion. She voted no. Any sane human who votes no for a procedure where you are forcing women, some of them with babies that will die inside them, to get on a plane and go to another country is not...
That's right. Because the law in this country says you can't have an abortion after 12 weeks. Do you not agree with that?
No. Excuse me.
That's why they're still leaving the country. That's why they're still leaving the country.
Excuse me. She voted no. She voted no in her bill. So she's a healthcare worker who voted no. How compassionate is that woman? Go off there with your dying fetus inside you and get that removed in the UK. What kind of a healthcare professional would have voted no? Seriously. And you want me to listen to that?
Well, a lot of people are pro-life, Saoirse, and you have to respect that too, just like you're pro-choice.
Be pro-life all you want in your decision. Don't enforce. Don't remove.
Well, I can equally argue if you are pro-life, you're enforcing your decision on an unborn child.
No. This is a difference.
You're saying don't enforce your opinion on other people. If you decide as a woman to have an abortion, you are enforcing your opinion on somebody else, an unborn child. They don't have a choice.
The big difference between pro-life and pro-choice is that pro-choice allows people to have a choice. End of story.
Do they?
Well,
they don't give that same choice to the unborn child, do they? You could argue that.
Come on now. Are we back here?
We kind of are back there a little bit.
Yeah. The unborn child, I'm afraid, unfortunately, doesn't have a right to supersede the woman in this case.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Karen as well. Hang on. Let me go to Karen. Karen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Okay, getting back to the three-day wait period.
First of all, yeah, I voted no. I am pro-life, and I do not think we should get rid of the three-day wait period.
Okay.
I think it's the wrong thing to do, and I don't think we should extend it beyond 12 weeks either. Again, as in, you mentioned there at the top of the story, and I also agree with Tony as well. We were sold a lie, but this is what happens always in this country anyway. Every time they want to bring in a legislation or amend the constitution, it is always sold on the hardship grounds. It's always pulled, they're pulling the heartstrings of the people. Because all I heard during the debates were the 12-year-old girl rape scenario and the fatal abnormality. And they pulled in the heartstrings of the people. This is why we must legislate. And I said to so many people at the time, well, then just let's just legislate for
those situations.
The 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no, we can't do that. You see, they sell it on those grounds. And once they open the door, and now we have repeal, and there's no protections for the unborn in the Constitution, now they can run amok 5 years down the road and think they can do what they like. First of all, let's now get rid of the three-day wait period. Then further, let's extend the 12-week period. Before you know, we're up to 24 weeks. Then we're up to 26 weeks. Then we're like bloody New York in 2019 when Governor Cuomo, abortion, basically infanticide, abortion up to birth. Oh, no, this is only because it's to save the life of the mother. Hold on one second. At that point, then emergency C-section should be performed and bring the baby to life and save the mother too. This is what I always do. This is what abortion fanatics always do. They sell it on the hardship grounds, and then once they open the door, all of a sudden we want now to change the laws again. And I noticed throughout the whole discussion, except by yourself, by the way, just in the last couple of moments, it's always about the woman. What about the baby? We never talk about the baby. Saoirse there is a
Saoirse says the baby has no rights.
Oh, the baby does have rights. Mm. It's amazing how she's called a baby a fetus. It's always a fetus in the womb, but then when it's born, it's a baby. We cannot allow this to happen. It's an awful stain. It is an awful stain. Saoirse, you've had more. No, Saoirse, you've had more than enough time to speak. You've had more than enough time to speak. This is the life of the unborn we are talking about here. And I completely agree with Bernie. And making up this whole idea, I remember Lisa Chambers at the time said, oh, abortion regret is something that's making up at the time, the whole the discussion before the repeal in 2018. Mm. It is not making up. There are many women out there, don't give a shit, pardon my language. They've had multiple abortions, and that will come back to haunt them one day. But there are many, many women out there do this at the time, and down the road they do regret it. And this idea, why are they so obsessed with getting rid of the three-day wait period? You walk into the doctor, because maybe you're a 20-year-old girl, maybe you're a 21-year-old girl, maybe you found yourself in a very vulnerable situation, and you go in, you're ashamed, you're frightened, you don't know what to do, you talk to the doctor, you go in for that 72-hour, maybe you go away and tell your mother, tell your father, tell an aunt, a friend, whatever the case may be, and God, you know, you just might change your mind, and we save the life of another baby again.
Okay, so let's search your response to that. That 72 hours, you just might save the life of another baby again, because you might go and tell somebody else after making that decision, Saoirse.
The important detail here is not that a three-day week day period is a problem. okay? It's enforcing it. That's what people have a problem with. Suggesting it, recommending it, certainly. But enforcing it is the problem. And I find it incredibly hard to reconcile when people are pro-life, or whatever they call it, and they
whatever
know
they call it, that's quite insulting. Yeah,
you don't even, exactly, sir, you don't even like the term pro-life, because pro-life means defending the life of the unborn baby, which you seem to have an awful problem with.
So let me
pro-life. I'm defending the right to life, so call me that, please.
So, okay,
you don't like
right,
that, you
whatever.
Say. You're fanatical,
so
you don't like that.
I want to ask you a question, and it's an extreme example, and I want to ask you how your stance is pro-life in this case. If I had a baby and I was told the baby was going to be a stillborn, you would prevent me from getting an abortion. Is that correct?
Well, say that again. Be more specific of what you mean by stillborn.
If I was pregnant and I was told my baby would not have any quality of life, that would die immediately after birth, or it was a stillborn, or whatever extreme example you want, you would stop me having an abortion. You voted no. Is that correct?
I voted no. Yes, I did. I voted.
How do you value? Can I ask you, how do you value? How do you sleep at night? How does that value in
how
life?
Do you sleep at night? How do you sleep? I sleep very well at night. I sleep very well. I know personally a circumstance of fetal abnormality that found out about 19, 20 weeks. That woman, married with several other children, carried that baby to full term. A little baby girl was born, lived for 5 hours. And it was a heartbreaking situation for the family. And they buried that little baby girl, a private ceremony. And that was about it was about 2019 or 2020, around that circumstance when it happened. But that woman lost her baby. She lost her baby.
Yeah. And what about the case? There was a case more recently, Saoirse, where somebody was told that her baby was a stillbirth, or would be told the baby would be born and would only live for, you know, a couple of hours. It turned out the doctors were wrong. Now, she sued the hospital later. She went and had an abortion. And it turned out then, when it was re-examined, that the doctors were actually wrong.
I'm not familiar with that case, Niall. Mm.
Okay. I'm sure you're not, yeah. Conveniently.
Hang on.
Let's search answer.
As somebody who claims to value life and can value compassion can enforce the situation you just described. I hope that was the correct one for that woman. It sounds as if it was. It wouldn't be for me. It would be barbaric and torturous.
How do you know? You can't know.
I think it is in the name of compassion and life. You would force that on another woman. It's mind-boggling. I am having PTSD from back when the referendum was on. The no vote, I mean, you are heartless. Heartless people.
I'm not. Far from it. I also know of another situation. I don't know the woman personally, but a friend of mine has a friend who found out at 21 weeks of fetal abnormality. At the time, she said, I want to get rid of this. I can carry to full term. Now, no more spoken about, but actually, I spoke to my friend in a lot of months ago about the same scenario, because we were talking about abortion and all the rest of it, and she said no, she actually didn't. She went ahead and she continued with the pregnancy.
Okay, well, hang on a second, because Saoirse just dropped her line there and she vanished. Maybe not such a bad thing. Morris, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Niall? All right?
You've been listening to Karen. She doesn't agree with removing the three-day wait period because, look, it's not such a big deal, really, 3 days as far as Karen and some people are concerned, but other people who are pro-choice say it is a big deal that we're treating women like they're stupid.
Well, to me, if a woman has made her mind up, who is anybody to tell her what to do or what to partake in? If she wants to terminate, why should she be made wait another 3 days when she could be 3 days getting over it, three days down the road from it, whether it was a rape or an unwanted pregnancy or something? Why is she being tortured for 3 days if she doesn't want something growing inside her that she can get rid of and cope with? And it's her choice. Never tell a woman what to do. It's her body and her choice. And if everybody that goes down this road has to stand before God and say, well, why did you make that decision? Because it was the right thing for me at the time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't live with it, and I couldn't bring something into the world that I couldn't look after. How dare somebody tell somebody else? You know, it's not about religion or anything else. It's about what is right for the woman. Because I'll tell you something, for a woman to carry a baby that's been forced into her by a rape, there's nothing worse than...
That would be a very rare circumstance, Morris. Extremely rare circumstance, actually.
I know. Well, like I said to you, look at the case. Yeah, and I tell you, what's the problem is, Everybody's seen the Kerry Babies documentary on the telly. The torture this state put that family through when all along the perpetrators were people of the state. That family were tortured. The babies were tortured. And they went to hell and back. And the very people that were doing the investigation were the perpetrators of the crime. Horrendous stuff the way women in this country are stepping up and standing up for themselves, because keeping them pregnant and chained in the kitchen, that day is long gone. It's their life, their choice. How dare anybody sit in judgment of them?
Karen, you know, Morris is making the point. They've made that decision. Who are we to tell them, you know, that they can't have that right to make that decision?
But, you know, that's all very fine when it pertains to their life. But this is the life of another baby.
Yeah, but I suppose the argument
is the life of a baby in the womb.
And I understand the point you're making.
We're not talking about we're not talking about a woman.
But we've had that. But Karen,
woman.
Karen,
talk,
okay.
Sorry.
You know my position anyway, right? But I'm just being a referee here, okay? But you understand, we already have. We're not back in 2018 having that debate as to whether it's right or whether it's wrong or whatever it is, right? Because that's already happened, and we already have the legislation. The legislation is there. It is legal in Ireland to have an abortion. That doesn't make people who are pro-life very happy, obviously, but it is legal. And, you know, for most of us, we have to respect democracy. So in that sense, because it's already a done deal, leaving aside the extending the 12 weeks, that's another debate to some degree. The 3-day waiting period, according to Morris, how dare we say to those women who've already made that choice under the current legislation to have an abortion, say, I'm sorry, you have to come back to us in 3 days. Can't do it yet.
Yeah, but when they're at home, they've done a pregnancy test to find out they're pregnant or whatever the circumstances are. That's fair enough. Mm. And then they realise, okay, I've got to get rid of this. I can't cope with the pregnancy. I'm not financially in a position to do it. I'm not with a partner. It could have been a one-night stand. It could be somebody I'm seeing casually or whatever the case may be. However, I think myself, I've never been down that situation, but I think maybe if you want to walk into the doctor's surgery and you speak to the doctor, that maybe something might change inside you, because I imagine the doctor's going to have a discussion with you around it anyway. So I imagine then that you actually might just change your mind. And how about if you just save one more life? I think that's worth it. This idea, I understand maybe people walk in and say, oh, no, I've made up my mind, that's it, I want it in and done. And maybe that's what they want as well, the fact that if they walk into a doctor's surgery and all of a sudden their mind might be changed.
Okay, well, hang on, let me just go to Nuala. Nuala, right. Okay, well, hang on, Karen. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. I'm just looking at the result of the Supreme Court judgment in 2018, and it says in conclusion that the unborn has no rights, but it is not constitutionally or legally invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And it also goes on to say that the state, like Shay, is entitled to have due respect for the human life as an aspect of the common good, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't kind of say that the unborn or
it's a bit of a grey area. It is a bit of a grey area.
Because, say, now, all the different kind of prenatal nursing and all the rest, that's to protect and to ensure that the child is, when it's born, that it is, you know, healthy and all the rest. All that means that, you know, it is kind of in one sense indirectly a right, because like without, you know, we wouldn't, as I say, what would men be without women?
Well, and, absolutely. But can I get back to the
very thing? Very rare, says your man. What's his name?
Oh.
it was a quote from your man.
I'm not familiar with him. Can we get back to the 3-day wait period if we can? Okay, Nuala.
But I'm saying, at the same time, if I need a new hip because maybe I can't hardly walk right, do you think I'd get it within a few days, even though I have to be limping around the town? I might get it in a year or 2 years.
Yeah, but it's a kind of different situation.
Like when it comes, no, it's the same thing. Like it's the quality of life.
No, you don't. Yeah, but you don't have to wait 6 months to get an appointment to get an abortion.
Well, you might have to wait a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you wouldn't.
But it's not compulsory or mandatory. There's no doctor says, listen, we have an available appointment, but I'm not allowed to give it to you because you have to wait a period of time. You know, that's not the same thing. It's not a good analogy.
The A&E is told that people can't get an appointment.
Okay, but that's not a good analogy. That's just because there isn't appointments available. There is appointments available for abortion because it's a fairly quick procedure.
One ailment is treated as, and it's not an ailment to be pregnant, but one is treated with kid gloves.
You're missing the point of making it. It's not a good analogy because the reason you can't get the hip replacement tomorrow is because there isn't somebody available to do it for you. There is with abortion. It is available immediately for people. The only difference is the law pertains and says that you can't have it within 3 days.
The health of women. The status of making it a priority to look at the health of older women to make sure that they have a quality of life, because it's mostly older women that would be in need of a new hip.
Can we just park the hip for the moment, right?
It is important. If it was your hip, it would be important.
It would be important if it was my hip. Yeah, but should women have to wait 3 days to have an abortion? Legally have to wait 3 days.
I wouldn't say it would make one way, make a difference one way or the other, would it?
But according to those who are in favour of scrapping it, we're treating women like they're stupid and they're incapable of making decisions.
Well, I told you, I was in need of I had a broken shoulder and in need of a replacement. Do you think I got it within the 3 days?
No, you won't get it within the 3 days because you won't get an appointment within 3 days. That's a completely different situation, Nuala. It's not what we're talking about.
I had to make up my own mind about it. Nobody was coming along and saying to me, I rang up the doctor and the office and
But you made up your mind about it. If the doctor said to you, listen, we have a hip replacement or a knee replacement available for you, they wouldn't turn around to you and say, but listen, we're not allowed to do it because we have to give you a preliminary, whatever, I don't know, 5 or 6 days to make up your mind.
No, because it's a big budget. You see, there's a big budget,
okay.
And it's costly. And because it's costly, you just can't...
Okay, we're not talking about knees and hips here, okay? We're talking about abortion.
They're important. They're important as anything else because they're the quality of life.
I'm sure they are, Nuala.
Quality of life. Nuala, and if it was your hip or your shoulder, it would be important. Would it not?
It would! Nuala!
Nuala,
have a lovely day.
You're not going to die. Very few people will die after an abortion, but if you don't get a new hip, you could fall into the river and drown because you're walking along and you're limping.
Thank you, Nuala. I appreciate it. Let me just go to Carl. Carl, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall. How are you?
You're not looking for a hip operation when you stretch the imagination. Anyway, getting back to the 3-day waiting period for abortion, Karen says, please leave it as it is because, look, there is a situation there where many women go for the first appointment. Thousands of women actually go for the first appointment, but don't turn up for the third appointment because we can only assume some of those women may change their mind. So from that point of view, from a pro-life point of view, it's important that we leave it there. So what do you think, Carl?
I think get rid of the 3-day appointment, or the 3-day wait. Get rid of it altogether.
Okay.
That's just, that's me as a man speaking. The reason why some people, I read an article there in the paper about the woman who was married to her husband. She has 3 children, she's pregnant again, and she just wants an abortion, but he won't let her do it.
Yeah.
I mean, what right has he got to say?
That was actually on our show about 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Absolutely disgraceful. No man should have a right to tell a woman what she can do with her body. I mean, as I said in my message to the producer earlier on, I said, by all means, the father or the parent or the partner of the child should be... spoken about it first before anything before a discussion.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
A discussion about it, that's fair. But at the end of the day, it's the woman's choice and let her make her own decision. You know what I mean?
But equally, I could argue in relation to what you said there, about a woman, and her husband telling her not to have an abortion, you could equally have the opposite problem where a young girl, 22, gets pregnant, boyfriend says, listen, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Go on, down to the doctor you go. Get rid of it. I'll go down with you. And he's there with her, bringing her to the, to the local GP, and she's thinking, I don't really want to get rid of it, but he's kind of putting pressure on me. And at least at that point, if the doctor says, well, look, I can't do it immediately, I'll put you down for 3 days. It gives her time then to talk to other people or maybe get another alternate view of what her options might be. Rather than, going with the pressure of the boyfriend.
Well, any man or boyfriend or whoever you want to call them who puts pressure on a woman to have an abortion or to not have an abortion, he should give their head a good wobble. It's not their choice at the end of the day. Have a discussion by all means and come to an amicable decision. But, you know, the woman's going to make up her mind either way, you know. And the reason, I mean, why wouldn't the man want a child? Is it because he's already married or he just doesn't want to pay the financial support?
Well, some men just don't want to have children, you know, I am assuming. You know, they just don't want to. Maybe it's a boyfriend. Maybe it could be a one-night stand. Maybe it could be somebody she's only going out with a few days or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but we don't know the full situation. But as regards the 12-week cut-off period, I'd be in favour of keeping that at the 12 weeks. Don't change it at all.
Mm.
You know, that's ample time, you know. Anything over 12 weeks, I know it's gone too far, you know. It's nearly... I don't know how fully developed a fetus is at 12 weeks, but...
Well, it has a heartbeat. It has a central nervous system, I imagine.
Yeah, well then, you know, it needs to be, you know.
Okay, but stay there for a second. Well, hang on, let me just go to Ibrahim. Stay there, Carl. Ibrahim, hi, how are you?
Good, how's it going, Niall?
Good, there you go. Carl says, you know, just get rid of it. You know, get rid of this three-day waiting period. It's ridiculous, and, you know, to be having it there. The law is the law. We allow abortion, so why are we putting these restrictions on it?
I think the simplest response to that would be look at Saoirse. Somebody who wasn't maybe in the right state of mind to take a decision right then and there needs a few days to think about what this action can have on her or on the people who are involved in the situation. As for Mark, he says it should be the woman's choice only. The child was created by the man and the woman. So what if the man wants to have the child and the woman doesn't have the child? This gives them a period to have a discussion, to come to some kind of an agreement, one to convince the other. You know, if they're both involved in this.
I'm assuming if you're in a relationship, you would have that discussion before you go to a doctor, unless, as I said earlier on, it's pressure being put on by some guy who's in a one-night stand or something like that. But I'm assuming if you're married or in a steady relationship, you would have that discussion before you visit the doctor.
See, I can give you my own personal experience out of this. I have three children. When my ex-wife now was pregnant with our third child, it was not a planned child, and she wanted to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see the doctor. At the time, I was working in Saudi Arabia. We went to see the doctor, and thank God the doctor was a wise man. And he said, why don't you take a few days, think about this. If you want to go through with it, I can do it right away. And if you change your mind, then that's fine too.
Yeah.
So I told my wife at the time, I'm like, okay, I think this is very reasonable. Let's go and let's talk about it. We weren't sure, both of us at the time. I mean, you know, we already had two children. We didn't know, you know, you have to take into the consideration, you know, the economic situation.
Yeah.
How will that affect having a third child? Is quite costly. And, you know, so we thought, okay, let's go. Let's think about it. And within like the few days, I was able to have a sensible chat with my wife and tell her, okay, I think we should keep it. From my side, it's also from a bit of a religious perspective.
I was going to say, where does Islam stand on abortion?
Islam permits it if the, well, there's different sects, as you know, in the Islam.
Yes, so, of course, different interpretations.
Generally, yeah, if the mother is in any kind of danger, then it's permitted. Some other schools will tell you up to 120 days, it's okay. So,
and does Islam not consider, as the Bible would consider it to be murder? Does Islam not consider it to be murder?
Well, it's similar. Like there's a verse, you know, before Islam, the old days. Remember when they used to bury the girls when they were born because they wanted boys?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And Islam came and they banned that. And there's a verse in the Quran that says, "And when the female infant buried alive will be asked as to what crime she was killed for." So it's a powerful thing. So no, you know, there's no thing really. There's no justification to kill. Obviously,
yeah,
we live in a democracy, and I believe in that also. And I
that's what I said earlier on. No matter what my opinion happens to be, because people always ask my opinion, whether I believe it's morally right or morally wrong. I think it's morally wrong. But in saying that, I respect democracy, and I would never judge anybody for making their own decisions. But Carl, in relation to what Ibrahim says, you know, it gives people that just that little bit of extra time to have a discussion once the realization of going to a doctor and understanding what's involved, you know, it gives them a little bit of time to make, you know, have that discussion between them and their mother, father, husband, brother, whatever, you know, gives them a bit of time. Sorry, Carol, are you still there?
Yeah, no, sorry, I forgot to do record on
that. No, no, no.
It does give them a bit of time, but I still think that they should have had this discussion before the baby has come to full. When they find out the woman is pregnant, they have the discussion there and then. They don't need an extra 3 days to make up their mind, will we or won't we? You know,
I know what Ibrahim is saying. That realization doesn't really kick in till you make that first visit to the doctor. And then it's kind of, oh, this is real. You know, we're actually here. And here's the doctor giving me advice. And as Bernie said earlier on, as a medical practitioner, she said, like, you know, for women, and I don't understand fully pregnancy like most men, we don't, but her body continues to be pregnant. Although she may have an abortion, her body and her hormones continue to be pregnant for 9 months. So there's a lot. It's not just a case of taking two tablets and that's the end of it. You know, you have a quick miscarriage and it's all over and done with. It's a bit more than that. There's more to it. So, you know, having that explained to you by a doctor and then saying, well, look, take your time, have a little think about it. We've 3 days. We'll make an appointment for you for Wednesday and she'll come back in. If you still want it done, just come back in on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. I don't see the big deal in it. I don't see, like, it's not treating women as being stupid. If I went tomorrow, Carl, and decided, now, not that I would be at 60 years of age, went to have the snip, right? There is nowhere is going to give me the snip there and then. Nowhere. They will always do the same thing. The same way as you wouldn't be allowed to go and get the snip under the age of 30 because no doctor will do it for you because in case you change your mind, you're too young. So, you know what I mean? Okay. So there are many procedures like that where there's a cooling off period.
Niall, also...
Yeah, sorry, Carl. Just let Carl respond to that. Carl, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, no, I fully understand that, Niall, but if you go in and, God forbid, there's a problem with the fetus, I mean, any of the maternity hospitals here, they'll give you the two tablets where you'll have a miscarriage straight away.
Yeah.
If you're going for an abortion in this country, do they give you the tablets that day?
No.
Or do they say, oh, come back in 2 days?
Come back in 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come back in 2 days. I mean, that's grand. They're not going to give it you straight away. So you still have the 2 day waiting period.
No. It's three. Come back in 3 days. They will not give them to you for 3 days. That's the law.
Okay. That's the law. Okay. Well, then that's your 3 days. I mean.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's all we're saying. So, but campaigners want those tablets or that prescription or that abortion to be available there and then when you make the decision.
Well, I think I agree with them. If women want to have an abortion there and then, they should be allowed to take those two tablets. It's a simple. That's my view. I'm not saying it's right, but that's my view.
Contradicting yourself,
sorry, Ibrahim.
I feel he's contradicting himself with after each statement. There seems to be some kind of contradiction.
Mm.
You know, he believes that there should be that time. You know, they'll think, okay, you're not going to get the tablets right away. But then he's saying that he doesn't believe that there should be a 2-3 day waiting period.
I don't believe in abortion. That's my view. Okay. But I still think that women should have the right to choose themselves.
Should I be allowed to go and have a snip under the age of 30? Should I go, if I went into, say, a clinic tomorrow, a private clinic, it would be £360, should they do it there and then for me? I'm 26 years of age.
Well, if you can find a clinic that isn't full already, yeah, by all means, they should do it for you there.
I think that would be madness, Carl, because people make stupid decisions. You know what I mean? And particularly, say, at 26, a life-changing decision like never having children again in your life. And, you know, many men will regret, and we see how many people want to try and get that reversed again. I can tell you now, there's no doctor will do it. But that would be madness, because a doctor would leave himself wide open to be sued because he allowed you to make a decision without having any kind of cooling off period, a life-changing decision. But stay there for a second, because I want to go to... thank you, Ibrahim. I want to go to James. James, hi, how are you?
Afternoon to you, Niall.
James, do you agree with removing the 3 day waiting period?
No, I don't, Niall. As I've said to you before, Niall, when the referendum came up, I actually did vote yes. And I looked at the whole... I suppose I remember one of the debates one night that the girl was saying the story of her walking around, I think it was Birmingham, with a hot water bottle on her tummy because she'd had, you know, I don't like to use the word abortion, I think it's a horrible word to use. I know this might sound a bit strange, but a termination.
Yeah.
And she explained why she did it. And you know, I was on the fence about the whole thing, and then I decided, okay, you know, this is the way I'm going to vote, because I have two daughters, you know, and you know, it was a terrible thing that they had to go through that. I would hope that, you know, one, they could come and talk to me about it, but two, you know, if they did go and see, you know, if one of my daughters did have a one-night stand, find out she was pregnant, and then, you know, goes to see the GP, and the doctor would say, look, okay, this is the situation here. Think about it. Just and come back in 3 days, and then if you still want to go ahead, well, then we go ahead. That's fine. I do think it's a good thing. I think it is a safeguard. You know, now there's a lot of people who, you know, on the pro-life side who would just totally and utterly disagree with you, and they're entitled to their opinion. They don't agree with it, but they're absolutely entitled to their opinion. Just the thing you made about the SNP, actually, I had a friend of mine, an English friend of mine, who got it done in the UK when he was 24. Always was adamant he didn't want children, and then in his mid-30s he met somebody, and when he went to try and get it reversed, they couldn't actually reverse it. That's the reason why, yeah, obviously.
Reversal is not very successful, unfortunately.
Yes.
It can work sometimes, but not always very successful.
Yeah, well, no, I got it myself, Niall, but after I had three kids, and, you know, it was a sit-down decision.
I think it's the same with women, by the way, if they want to get, you know, be sterilised. And I know women can be sterilised if they want to have the tubes tied, as they call it. Most doctors will not do it under the age of 30.
Yes. Yeah, but what happened with me was when I went to, when I booked it, the clinic I booked it through, they're based in the UK, but they have a surgery here. And the doctor rang me from the UK, and we went through it, and the XY, you know, what age you? I think I was 36 or 37 at the time. You know, do you have children? I do. Is it for financial reasons? It is that. But, you know, it's just easier for me to get that done than my wife to stay in the pill because they affected her headaches, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was about 20 minutes, but it was, you know, a consultation of it. Like, you know what I mean?
And they decide at the end of that consultation whether they believe they want to do it or not based on the questions that you answer. But sorry, we got off on a little bit of a tangent. But Carl, you've been listening. Oh, sorry, Carl's gone. Yeah, let me just stay there for a second if you can, because I want to go to Melissa as well. Melissa, hi.
Hi, Niall. Thanks for having me on in this very special conversation. First of all, I'm pro-life. Second of all, I believe if there was a referendum in the morning and that 3-day wait was removed, we would have had a different outcome to repeal. And that's from everyone I speak that voted yes, said if they knew they would remove the 3-day, they would never have voted yes. Mm. And I do believe, you know, we have to constantly hear, well, you know, that was the vote. We have to go with the vote of the people. And yet when the vote of the people went on a certain thing, they go in and twist it behind the scenes. If they want to take it away, then we call
here's the thing, Melissa. And I said this to people at the time during the referendum. If you were voting no or yes on the basis of what the government told you and the legislation,
They weren't fully informed, Niall. Yeah, they were not fully informed.
But hang on. There was a 3-day waiting period promised, okay? There was a 12-week cut-off point promised. There was exceptional rules, of course, over 12 weeks was promised. And they said there would be, according to Simon Harris, they said also built into that was a review in 5 years' time, right? Now, exactly. Which was carried out last April. If you didn't know that and you voted thinking abortion forever will only be with a 3-day wait period, 12 weeks, blah, blah, blah. Well, you weren't informing yourself. But you weren't informing yourself then, were you? I mean, I'm not saying...
fully informed. Yeah. Let's go back now. It's come out that Facebook even stopped the pro-life things. It was interfered with. This is public.
But you could argue the last referendum on the mother and family and all that kind of stuff, that was interfered with. There was massive amounts of...
100%. I was saying no.
Absolutely. And the government threw out loads of lies and misinformation.
Oh, absolutely. But hang on.
The public still informed themselves and 70% of them voted no.
That's because of the likes of you, Niall, allowing us to speak. I was front and head for the last 12 months on the no campaign. We have been in every county. We went to the street. Left, right and centre, and there's about 200 of us did that because we brought that informed information to the public. People are waking up now. We are using the digital world like they did to misinform us, to go on the streets, and the grassroots movements of Ireland got that no vote. You know it and I know it, and you're the only person on media that helped give us a voice. But we were out there morning, noon and night many of us got chest infections, pneumonia from being out there, but we brought it to the people. They didn't. We used a campaign this time that we had never used before, and it's proven.
You too,
it
bye.
Has been proven to work. Now, I just want to go back. I was pregnant at 17. I was being forced by my boyfriend's mother to leave this country to have an abortion. I was brought in. She held a Bible in her hand. I was just nearing 18 before my 18th birthday. I was told it was God's will that I wasn't to have that child. I was going to be put on a plane, not to tell my parents, not to tell my friends, and be brought for a termination. I like that gentleman that is using the word termination and not the other. Mm. And I, in my moral standing of my faith, knowing that she used a Bible to tell me it was the will of God to murder my child, and for the faith, and going back to what they're trying to take out of the schools at the moment, which I spoke about here live with you 2 days ago, and that faith that was installed in me, knowing that using a Bible to tell me to murder my child was the wrong thing to do. I left that house and the flights were booked. My daughter is 35 and I have a beautiful grandson going on 3.
But aren't you glad you didn't make that decision or allow that decision to happen at that particular time? And I'm delighted that was the case, Melissa. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to really rush to everybody. I do apologise, Melissa, and thank you for the compliment, by the way, in relation to the referendum. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Ned. Like, I'm an old man, but I actually had to, because I was the man, not the woman, working in a hospital, I had to actually, because there wasn't a counselling facility, I actually had to listen to countless young girls, older women, make these decisions on their own. They immediately, some of them actually did say it was the best thing they ever did. Some regretted it the rest of the days.
Yeah.
But what they wanted was somebody who'd no input, wasn't going to judge them, just to listen. So I personally think leave the 3 days. To be honest, I think it's essential. I think if we extend it to 12 weeks, we get into a bit of selection then, because then they can tell the sex, whether the baby's deformed, various other things.
Mm-hmm.
And should we be aborting?
Well, they do that a lot in the UK. Abortions are carried out in the UK based on the gender of the child. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I think it gets into a very hazy.
Okay. So you think the 12 weeks is adequate?
I think, to me, 12 weeks is adequate. But the other point I have, we have the National Women's Council.
Well,
who does the National Women's Council speak for? They're not speaking for women anymore.
No.
They seem to be so anti-women. They're actually a joke.
And considering, by the way, they're government-funded, then the National Women's Council have come up under a lot of scrutiny lately because they, well, obviously, according to the last referendum, they're not representative of women.
Oh, well, who are they supporting?
I have no idea. Themselves and their jobs is all they're supporting, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
I'm sure they support some women. I'm sorry, I'm really rushed for time. James, Melissa, Stephen, thank you. Let me just go to Breda before I wrap this up. Breda, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Do you believe we should get rid of the 3-day wait period or keep it?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think if you find out that you're pregnant and you don't want that child for whatever reason it may be, whether you've been attacked or you're in a situation that you can't afford to have a child or whatever it is, those 3 days would be the longest 3 days of your life. I mean, you know.
So, yeah, Melissa says it's 72 hours. It's hardly, you know.
But you don't know what their mental health is when they find out.
Their mental health without the 3 days is worse. It's worse.
You
need 3 days.
I know that.
I'm a mother. I've been in that position. Don't tell me I don't know when I've lived it.
You've lived it, but you lived it back when you were.
So the mental health, you know the mental health of people that have had an abortion. They need that chance of counselling, of fully informed, that if they make that decision, that if you're saying, I can't do it because my boyfriend doesn't want to stay with me, well, there's other supports there. They need that 3 days to know that there is supports there just outside of their boyfriend is what I'm trying to say. A lot of people are forced into abortions here. I am sorry, but you are wrong. And 72 hours for a life.
Okay. Well, hang on. Breeda's only come on, so let her finish what she wants to say. Sorry, Breeda, go ahead.
Like most people are very well informed. Yeah, okay, yeah, but that's your opinion, Melissa. Like, everybody's entitled to have an opinion. And if people want to go and have an abortion immediately...
Loads of people are not
informed. Hang on, I'm speaking. Most people are well informed. Like, in this day and age, most people are well informed.
They are not. I am telling you, they are not.
In your opinion.
Well, Breeda, with respect, I would have thought I was reasonably well informed on women's issues. I like to think I'm reasonably well informed. But, you know, Bernie taught me something earlier on there today. I didn't realise. When you have an abortion, your body continues to be pregnant psychologically and with your hormones and everything else.
Cells of your child.
For the rest of the 9 months. Now, some women might know that, for example, and they go in and the doctor will tell them that. And I suppose the 3-day period was just to get them used to the idea and make sure they fully understand what they're doing and the permutations of it and maybe the medical side effects.
Anyone that makes the decision to go and have an abortion has thought about it before they go to take that final step.
That's why 1,600 people on the 3-day wait had their children last year, Breeda, is it? Can you explain that one, Breeda, please? How, with the 3-day wait, 1,600 that went in for an abortion changed their minds. That's 1,600 lives.
Okay. I think somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. Out of the 4,000 women, say, for example, that went for a first appointment, out of 4,000 women, only something like, I think, 2,000 and something came back for the second appointment, which leaves us to believe there's one or three options. They had a miscarriage, they changed their mind, or they weren't pregnant at all in the first place. That they possibly changed their mind. So, the idea, I suppose...
Or they were put under pressure by other people not to have an abortion.
They could have been put under pressure to go to the doctor in the first place by a boyfriend who didn't want a baby.
Yes,
so there's loads of different reasons, yeah.
Yeah, but, it's not necessarily that, it's not because maybe they had a change of conscience. It may be because of outside pressures.
But if that 3-day waiting period, as Melissa's saying, if that 3-day waiting period even encouraged 500 extra children to be born who would not normally have been born because they could have been terminated.
That's all well and good. If that child is going to go into a loving home and being able to be supported and given all the help
about anyone.
There's so many kids in this country. Melissa. There's so many children in this country that live in poverty, that go to school hungry every day. And I'm sorry, but if somebody's in a situation where they know they can't support and bring that child up in a loving, warm, comfortable home, I applaud them for going and having an abortion.
And there's many people that can't have children and they can be put up for adoption. Lots of options.
Okay, but just in saying that, Breeda, and I understand the point you're making, I do, and look, there's dysfunctional families in every walk of life. But, my mother wasn't in a position when I was born to keep me. I could have been terminated if it was available to her at the time. I'm sure it wasn't available unless she went to Nurse Cadden down the back of a lane somewhere, but who ended up in jail eventually for illegal abortions in Ireland. But I could have been aborted, but instead I was adopted to a family who did give me a loving home.
Which was fantastic. But now this country makes it impossible nearly for people to adopt children, whether it be from this country or another country. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 10 to 20,000 euros just to do the process to adopt a child. Like, that's wrong. If they took away all that, there'd be so many more children adopted.
And I agree with you. And maybe if we spent the same time and effort, creating a system whereby people could make adoptions easier and a lot easier for loving families, maybe that would be a good thing too. But I'm just running out of time. But you believe the 3-day waiting period should be gone. And just finally, Breeda, before you go, the 12-week cap at the moment currently, the RT Investigates programme showed that women were still leaving Ireland to have abortions after the 12 weeks, between 12 and 23 weeks or 22 weeks as it is in the UK. Do you think we should remove the 12-week cap and increase it to 22?
No, I don't agree with that. I think unless you find out that you have a child that's severely deformed and you're not going to be able to mind them or something, then I think then maybe that should be an option by 12 weeks, you know exactly where you're going to go and what you're going to do. I think it's wrong for anyone to bring a child and abort it at 22 weeks when that child can survive.
Absolutely.
I'm against that completely.
Okay, listen, Breeda, thank you very much. Melissa, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. I could have filled 3 hours with people Everybody has an opinion when it comes to abortion. And again, as I say, you know, we must respect democracy. It's important that we do respect democracy, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it. We all have to live in this country together. But we can argue over the finer points of it. Thank you for getting involved in the show. Thank you to all our texts and WhatsApps. Loads of them, by the way. I can read out. There's loads of messages here. Michelle says, yes, remove that three-day wait period. There's no need for that. I think 12 weeks would still be the maximum, though. Sandra says abortion should only be allowed if the baby or the mother's health or life is in danger. Another person says it's time to get rid of the waiting period. If it's extended, it could just lead to even more abortions. Mike says, no, we did say that this would happen back then when it was put to a referendum. Somebody else says the wool was pulled over our eyes when we voted yes in the referendum. We were told it was only going to be in extreme circumstances. No, you weren't. You weren't listening, obviously, when you voted in the referendum, if that's what you thought, by the way. Mike says, no, we did say that this would happen. Yeah, we had that one already, Mike. And somebody else says, no, absolutely not. And I'll keep the three-day waiting period. It doesn't suggest women are stupid. It just means there's a cooling-off period. Anyway, thank you to everybody. Please don't forget to support the show. It's very important that we allow you to get your opinions on the air uncensored. And the only way we can do that is by providing this show every day. It costs money. Please go to our website, donate, or subscribe if you can. It really helps us to pay the bills. That's all we want to do is pay the bills. Thank you very much for getting involved. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.